Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, I want to talk today about seeking God with all of your heart.
Amen.
Seeking God, not with part, but with all your heart.
Amen.
Now, when you do this, when you seek God, you're going to have to do this by faith. Don't wait to seek God. We are not to wait on Him. You might say, well, I'm going to seek God, but I'm going to wait on Him for a special service or a special anointing or a special move. No, you don't do that. You initiate.
Amen.
Why is that? Because God's already moved. It's called the finished works of Jesus Christ. Provision for you has already been made. Healing for you has already been made. All these things are accomplished in the name of Jesus, what Jesus did at the cross, His burial and resurrection, sitting at the right hand of the Father. So the job, redemption, is done. So when we're seeking God, that's something that you have to do. Now, He found you, right? And you accepted the call. You believed on Him. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we don't want to stop there, do we? We want to seek God. I'm determined in my heart more this year to seek Him hard. Other words, see, I did that last year. Now, we're talking about lifestyle. So get this. Now, I set my heart, and actually the word set, you could say fix. Isn't this the year of the fix?
Yes.
Last year, I fixed or I set my heart to seek Him. And as I went through last year, more things were revealed to me. So this year when I start, I'm starting in a better position than I did last year.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a progressive type thing. We set ourselves to seek after Him. And He's always a rewarder. I'm telling you. Don't think. There's something about when a believer starts seeking after Him. There's something about it. God, you get His attention. The Bible talks about He's looking to and fro, looking for somebody that He can show Himself strong to. When you set your face to seek Him, He will start revealing things to you. See, obviously, Bible talks about in His presence is fullness of joy. So obviously, His presence will increase. I'm talking about in your prayer life, in your private time with Him. I'm not talking about seeking after goosebumps. That's part of it. I praise God and I feel that anointing and the hairs on my little arms stand up. That's great. But there's so much more to it than that.
Amen.
So first of all, when we seek the things of God, you're going to have to do this by faith. It's by faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's just review what faith is. Because faith is not, we have to train our senses. We get to train ourselves because we were raised from little on up that what you see is what you believe and what you feel is the real thing. But the Bible talks about faith. You can't see faith. You can't see hope. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance. Nothing about a feeling. Nothing about emotionals, your emotions, your soul. The soul is something you have to take care of. The soul, listen to me, you will have to renew the mind. I've heard Kenneth Hagin say this time after time after time. The greatest need for the body of Christ is the renewing of the mind. That means you're going to have to do something. If you don't, you're not going to be able to draw on what God has done in Christ Jesus. Because the Word will tell you how to do things. The Word will teach you. See, the Bible talks about the truth. It is the truth of God's Word that will set you free. You got to know the truth. And that comes by the renewing of the mind. So anyway, back here it says, by faith, listen to this, by faith is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we see right off the bat, faith and hope. What's hope? Hope's the thermostat. Hope, another thing I like to look at, like say about hope, hope is that motivator. You got to have hope out in front of you. Too many Christians, I see this, too many Christians, they don't have hope in front of them because you could tell it. They have no expectancy. Hope gives you an expected end. In other words, your faith is working. You got the unit on. You got hope out there. It's the motivator. We're starting a new year. Get some hope out in front of you. Come on, get your faith working. To have the faith switch on, you got to have hope out there. You can't do one without the other. They are a package deal. Hope, get some hope out in front of you. Get some excitement in your life. Don't allow this year to go by. And in the year, you say, well, that's over. Well, the thing is, what have we accomplished? I'm talking about spiritually. We should be closer to God at the end of this year than ever before. Listen, that's not by accident. You will have to seek. And we're going to see something. The enemy will do everything he can to stop you from seeking. So it goes on to say, now, things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, skip on down. So we just talked about faith and hope. Everything you receive from God, you're going to have some faith. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to have to hear the Word. Amen. Study the Word. Meditate in the Word. All these things we're going to talk about. This is going to be a kind of a short message, but I don't want to throw too much, and I want to try to get a point across. Amen. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible. Impossible. That is why we have Pastor Mark constantly talking about faith. Why? Because it is impossible. I mean, think about it. You can't please God without it. So wouldn't it make sense for us to acquire more faith? Well, how you do it? More Word. The more Word you have, the more capacity you have. What? To do what? To be pleasing to Him. That's awesome, isn't it? It says, now without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For, now he's going to tell us two things. Now we can remember this, right? Two things. Now if you have to, underline this in your Bible. First one, he who comes to God must believe that He is. In other words, that He exists. He's not floating around. No, He's in you. He exists. There is a person in you called the Holy Spirit. He's in you. The greater one's in you. And He wants to take the Word and manifest that to you. In other words, He wants to take the Word. Holy Spirit's working all the time. He's on the inside of you. So when you study the Word, it's the Holy Spirit who wants to bring you revelation of the Word. Why? Because revelation will turn into manifestation. But unless you have revelation, you're not there yet. That's why you keep hearing the word. And you keep hearing. And you keep hearing. Until the switch comes on. Ah, I got it. Yeah. Come on. There's a knower on the inside of you. It says, I know that I know that I know. Amen. There's a knower in me. By His stripes you were healed. That's revelation to me. Yes, I still have to fight off sickness. That doesn't mean it never jumps on me. It try to jump on you. Right? But we have revelation. I don't have to take that. So revelation, a turn in, if you stick with it. Now, since you got revelation, you keep speaking what the Word says. You keep doing what the Word says. Manifestation will show up. Right? There will be a performance. It's working. Say, faith is working in me. Giving substance to the things hoped for. It's working, saints. Just keep it working. Keep hope out in front of you. It's working. But so the first one is you got to believe that He is. But don't stop. This is where a lot of the church as a whole, they'll stop at that. Well, you know, I believe God. Travis, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, hold it now. There's more to it than that. We have a ministry. We all have a ministry lane to run in. We all have a call. We have to finish the call. We have to finish the work. While Jesus said, while it's still day. So we don't want to stop. Yeah, He exists. There's much more to it. See, I'm talking about the seeking part. Why? Because there's more to it. It's an adventure. Don't let anyone tell you faith is not an adventure. It is. We are constantly discovering new things in Christ Jesus, who we are. It's layer upon layer upon layer, and it never ends. I've heard it said there's 7 layers, but I don't believe there's an end to it. The second one, let's read it. For you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Oh, come on, what is this? It said that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are you kidding me? You're trying to tell me that if I'm seeking God, now listen. That word diligent means to be earnest. Come on, you could have the wrong motives. Remember what Jesus said, I think it's in John chapter 6. Jesus said, hold it now, you're seeking me for the wrong thing. You're seeking me for the fish and loaves. We got to make sure we're seeking His face. Not what we can just get. That was one of my problems I had when I first got into the Pentecostal. I just wanted my stuff. I'm just being honest with you. I just wanted my stuff. You know what I mean? I sow, I get $10 back. I sow a dollar, I get 10. Just give me my stuff, Lord. That's a bad attitude. You know, I was just a baby in diapers. Lord is very patient. But we have to make sure our motive is right to seek Him, not just for the fish and the loaves. No. So what is the motive? The motive is to know Him, right? To have an intimate fellowship with Him. Now turn with me to, I want to go to James chapter 6. James chapter 6. Pardon me, chapter 4. You're not going to find 6. James chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 6. Because verse 6 and 7 is going to set the stage for verse 8. So verse 6, it says, He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit, humble yourself to God, resist. That word resist means to stand up. If you read the actual Greek, I think the Young's translation says, stand up. When the enemy is coming against you, you don't hide in fear. You're not, no, you stand up. Now, this is vital, this verse, because he's talking about the devil right here. Because in verse 8, the enemy does not want you getting the verse 8. I believe this is the number one thing that the enemy hates more than anything. He does not want you seeking after God. He does not want you drawing near to God. What is the devil? The devil is a divider. He did that to Adam and Eve. Nothing's changed. He's always causing division. That's what he does. In marriages, it goes on and on and on. He wants to cause a division. He does not want you drawing nigh to God. So what does it say to do? Resist him. See, yeah, and we use this for everything. Sickness, whatever it is, we use this scripture. That is true, and that is right. But in context, he's relating this to verse 8 about your relationship with God. It is the most important thing you will ever do in your Christian walk. It's all about your relationship with God. That is your first call. Not ministry. I said not ministry. It is not your first call. Your first call is fellowship with Him. Spending time with Him. It says, verse 8. Well, let's finish verse 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will do what? He's going to flee from you. Now, you may have to stand for a while. You may have to resist him for a while, but he will flee. Verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God. Now, see, now when the enemy is not going to show up with a pitchfork and some horns. He's not going to be dressed in red. He's going to be very subtle. The sower sows the word. One of the areas I had issues with, and I still have to watch this, is about the cares of life. Very subtle. If I'm not watching carefully, I'll get tangled up in things, and I'm not spending the time I should be with Him. You understand what I'm saying? You got to watch that, because those cares are very subtle. I mean, you can take that in any area. He wants you busy. The enemy wants you busy with life. That Martha-type spirit. Come on. What Martha was doing was right. There's nothing wrong with what she was doing, but it's at the wrong time. Martha was preparing, serving, ministering, getting things ready, but it wasn't the right time. Why? Because it's out of order. It's out of order. He's got to be first. He is first. Mary chose the good part. She could have been doing the same thing Martha was doing, but Mary chose to do what? To be at the feet of Jesus. And in a way, she's ministering to Him. Oh, you get that? She's actually not only receiving, but she's ministering to Him. And Jesus said, hey, it's not going to be taken from her. This relationship that we have, what's going on here, it won't be taken from her. That's the attitude we got to have. And you're saying, well, Pastor Chuck, I just don't have time. Make time. Amen. Make time. Joanne and I were talking about coming in, about spending more time with Him. How can you miss out on that? How can you not come out of spending more time being much better? You're going to come out a whole lot better. right? Spirit's always first. Spirit, soul, and body. But anyway, it says, notice what happens here. It says, draw near to God, and notice the response. There's always a response. God will respond. And how does He respond? It says, and He will draw what? Near to you. Who's making the first move? Well, I'm waiting for God to. No. He says, you draw near. Then He responds. I remember when I was in the first grade. And yes, I can remember. It had been that far long ago. Back then, we had board games. You know, we didn't have the cell phones. And, you know, so we'd play checkers. But whenever it was my turn to move, I would always study the board. And I would usually take too long a time. And the other person would say, are you going to move? And actually, yeah, I took so long that I even forgot it was my turn. Now, I'm being honest with you. There's even one time I forgot to eat my lunch. That's how serious I took playing checkers. You know, I don't have time to eat. I got a game here. I got to win. It's all about winning, you know. But then later in life, I got a computer chess game. And this computer chess game, there's levels to it. And I got to level 3, nine levels or something, level 3. And in between each level, you can go up a level. So I was on level 3 going up to level 4. And the computer, I noticed, never goes out of turn. It's always the same thing. He'll wait for me. He never jumps. In a way, I'm not saying God's a computer, but I'm just saying God will not jump out of turn. He will wait for you. It's your turn. You got to move. God's a rewarder of those who seek Him. He's a rewarder. So when we draw near to Him, He's going to reward. Come on.
Amen.
Ah. See, living a Christian life is not boring. Now, I'm not saying every day you be running around the house. I'm not saying that. There's the flesh we have to deal with. You have to train this body. I said you have to train the body. It can be trained. But you're not going to do it without the Word. It's going to take the Word to train the body. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're not going to go long today. I'm going to drive a point across, and I want you to go home and meditate on it.
Amen.
Matthew 6:6. It says, but when you are you there? Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, let me read it again. But when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, go into your room. Now, the King James says closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret, what happens? Will what? Reward you openly. Is prayer important? This is how you initiate drawing nigh to God, drawing near to God. You initiate it through what? Through prayer. through studying, through communion with Him throughout the day. Not necessarily prayer, but you're just communion. I always set time in the morning. Joy and I, we set time, then we separate, you know, our devotions. Then she does her thing, but then I do my thing, but we're still hanging out with God. Even though we dedicated some time to Him, but I just don't leave that and forget. I hang out with Him throughout the day, right? It's not about, well, I did 10 minutes. My goodness. No, it's about communion with Him. So we initiate the whole process by drawing near to Him, and then He responds, drawing close to you. And prayer is a part of that. It says that He rewards you openly. That word openly means manifestation. It manifests. In other words, we keep going with this, but when you're praying, I can only pray so long in the natural. I shift on over to praying in the Spirit. What you do when you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries to God. Your communion, you're having communion with Him, speaking in that language. That is face to face to God. Your spirit facing face to face exchange with the Father. When you pray in the Spirit, you're allowing your spirit man to express himself. It is vital. Paul said, I'll pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. So what are you saying? There are times, yes, you'll get an impression or an interpretation of what you've been praying about. Why? Because you're spending time in His presence. You're spending time releasing what's on the inside of you. That's direct talk with the Father. So yes, prayer life is essential to drawing close to God. And number two, His Word. Spending time in the Word, renewing the mind, abiding in the Word. See, you get the Spirit and the Word. Well, they do what? They agree with each other. The Holy Spirit, that's why I say the more Word you have, the better off you are. Because the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance, you may be going through a trial today that you've already studied out a couple weeks ago, and now the Holy Spirit's using that, what you studied a couple weeks ago, now He's bringing it to your remembrance. I'm telling you, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, Kenneth Hagin told a story. Oh my goodness, he said when he first got into the full-time ministry, we switched over to the Pentecostals. He got over to the Pentecostals teaching and stuff. And he said this. He said, what we're going to do this, he's talking to his church. He said, we're going to have, now listen to me, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you're suffering, if you're in bondage, laying on the hands, I mean, that's all, it all has its place, right? But Kenneth Hagin is having, he's going to have his meetings. And he said, every Saturday night for 90 days, on Saturday nights, we're going to have deliverance meetings. And Kenneth Hagin said, we had all kinds of manifestations. Some good and some you don't want to mention. Well, then that kind of waned. Then he said, well, what we're going to do now, we're going to have loosening services. Every Saturday for 90 days. I'm not sure if it was 90 days, but we're going to have loosening services every Saturday. So they had loosening, getting loose. Well, that waned. In other words, that didn't work. So now he said, we're going to have getting free. And Mark, this is going to be something now. Getting free. Every Saturday, we're going to have getting free services. And Kenneth Hagin said, I'm not real sharp. I'm kind of slow, but I know one thing. after all these special services, getting loose, getting free, the people were not any better. Laying on the hands, there's a place for that. Don't get me wrong. You can't put God in a box. But I'm just saying, that's what he's telling a story here, a true story. So he went to the Lord. He says, Lord, what's going on here? We're having all these services. I'm sincere. What's going on? And the Lord told him, now this is important. He said, you're trying to do something in prayer that only my word will do. See, I read a lot of E.W. Kenyon books, and he kind of jumps on this too. The best way, if you're in bondage, the best way is get revelation of God's word. Amen. It's the truth. Amen. It's the truth of God's word. So you could say, instead of saying the truth, you could say the word will set you free. It's the word. It's revelation of the truth. It has set you free. So you got to make sure that you're abiding in the word to a point that it comes revelation to you. Amen. Amen. There are some things when I first got saved, it took the word to break that off me. Now, here's the point. That's how important the word is. When you get the word, the truth of God's word become light to you, the Holy Spirit can now do a work. We're talking manifestation. So who's going to initiate all this? It's going to be us, isn't it? Who's going to draw near to Him? We're going to draw near to Him, and then He's going to respond by drawing near to us. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I may be getting close here. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 10. Actually, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. It says here, for my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. In other words, what he's saying, to know Him, it's about steps. You take steps. So throughout this year, you take steps to do what? To know Him. And as you take the step, saints, that's what I'm saying. This is not a boring thing. Because as you've taken the step to know Him, He reveals Himself to you. Amen. In a personal way that only you, He'll come down to your level where you're at. It doesn't matter how many years you've been in this or if you just got in it. If you will just, and notice this, in verse 10, it's talking about knowing Him before you know His power. Come on. Why? Because knowing Him is first in order. It is the most important thing. That's the reason why you're going to have to resist the enemy. He will come against you in all kinds of directions to stop this from happening. You're going to press in. If you think it's going to be just walking through a bed full of roses, you're going to press. Because I guarantee you something will try to come in to take place, to take you out of that position, to take you out of your prayer closet. God wants to reward us. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want things to be in your life substituting His place. He wants to be number one. Just like we talked about the tithe. You know, I talked about, you know, we don't tithe, we rob God. Another way of looking at it is you rob God the opportunity to bless you. He loves to bless His people. I'll talk about the manifestation. Amen. So what are you saying, Pastor Chuck? I'm saying this is what you can expect. In other words, when you draw close to God, expect Him to reveal Himself. Expect it. That's what hope's about, right? Faith giving substance to the things hoped for. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be a boring life. So if we're expecting, then we should be rejoicing. Amen. Turn with me. We're going to close. Psalm 70. Psalm 70. This is a short message, but this is what God put on my heart. And there's a boatload of scriptures when we're talking about seeking God. We can talk about David. Psalm 70, verse 4. And it says, let all those who seek you. Is that us? Let all those who seek you do what? Rejoice. Why in the world are we to rejoice? Because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Rejoice. Before you see the manifestation. Before. See, this is another expression of faith. Rejoice. Paul said, rejoice. Rejoice. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. Rejoice. It says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. See, when we seek Him, the Bible says those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. When you seek the Lord, what does it say? You lack no good thing. Here it says when you seek the Lord, rejoice. Saints, I'm talking about a lifestyle. Not something, well, I did that. And I'm talking about every single day. Just don't, hang out with God throughout the day. I mean, He wants to hang out with you. He wants to show Himself to you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. Yes, that's, and really, it's a growing, it's a pattern that we need to follow every single day, putting Him first, putting the Word first. I'm not going to allow this year to be just another year. I'm not going to allow myself, I'm not going to be robbed. I am not going to be robbed. I want to spend more time with Him, more time in His Word, more time in communion with Him throughout the day. And sometimes it's just thanking Him. It's just simple things. Just thanking Him for, you know, I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't thank God. And I'm not talking about just one or two things. I thank Him. I rattle off a bunch of stuff because I'm so thankful. Because I know where I'd be without Him. I know. Here's the thing. If I'm not putting Him first, if I'm not giving my time to Him, then I'm giving my time to someone else. Why not just give our time more, purposely give more time to Him?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.